And so, praise God. It's good not to be in your right mind, just to be in the right mind of Jesus Christ. Amen? No, actually, don't be in your left mind. Always be in your right mind. Amen? Anyhow, praise God. We have been talking and are talking about how the straight gate that Jesus mentioned twice or is recorded in two of the Gospels, Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 13. In those, we're given certain directions. We're told to strive to enter into the straight gate. You know what that means, to strive? It means to work, to discipline yourself, to try to live a life that is acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there will be many in that day that will say, Lord, Lord. And they won't be able to get in. They won't be, just because you confess it with your mouth, doesn't mean that you're there. You must believe it with your heart in such a way that the gospel transforms your life from the darkness you were born into to the light and the freedom that comes through a real living relationship with the Most High God. The beautiful thing about that is it is available. You can do it. You really can. You can do it. You can live a life that is exemplary to Christ, that He looks at you and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That those are promises that we will never be without sin, that type of perfection in this life, but we can be perfect in the eyes of God. We can be holy, even in our sinful flesh, as we walk and strive to enter in that narrow and straight gate. You can do it. But you can't do it in your own righteousness. You can't do it in your own thought. You can't do it by your willing it to be done. That kind of perfection, that kind of righteousness, that kind of walk only comes to a complete surrendering that we can receive from Christ Jesus as we surrender to the written word of God. And so how does one enter into that straight gate is what we'll be talking about here today. How do you get in? Have you ever wondered that? If there's a narrow way, only one way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said, right? He said that in John 14, right? John 14. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man goes to the Father but through me or by me. So we know that there's a way that goes into the Father, into the presence of the Most High God, but there's only one way. There's not a myriad of ways. And Jesus warns us in Matthew 17, verses 13 and 14, to enter into that narrow gate, all right, because broad is the way. Let's go to those two scriptures, because I'm getting them messed up in my head. So John will be the first book that we can grab to. So Matthew 7:13. You can tell. Well, actually, even before I get there, y'all pray for me because I am really having a hard time with my mind and my mouth right now. Huh?
Let's do that right now.
Yeah, if you would, please. Would you? Yes.
Lord, I thank you very much for all that you have shown me today. And I ask you, Lord, that you would remind me of that on a daily basis. And Lord, I particularly pray for our pastor this morning as he's having a hard time with dizziness and not being able to keep his mind clear. And Lord, we're all depending on you to speak to him this morning.
Amen.
And we would ask you that you would empower him. And Lord, give him the message that you want preached. And give him the strength to do it and help him to not be bothered by whatever infirmity this is. And Lord, help the rest of us to be attentive to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that which go in thereat. Because straight is the great gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. All right, so look at what Jesus is saying there. All right, he said, you need to, there's a way that's going to lead to righteousness. There's a way that's going to lead. It's a narrow way, and only a few find it. But beware of who's teaching you what. What you're listening to. Because there are many devils out there, amen. There are many folks dressed in a tie this Sunday morning standing behind pulpits that are teaching and preaching something outside of the Word of God. Beware of them. You'll know them by their fruits. One of the ways that you can know if a man is truly preaching or teaching the Word of God is read your Bible. Right? If he's not preaching things out of the Word of God, he's preaching something out of the Democrat Chronicle or something that he read on Facebook or Twitter or something like that, he's reading that kind of garbage, then you better check that person. If you're listening to that through him, you might being you very well may be being deceived into the broad way that leads to destruction. All right, that destruction means hell, death, or death and hell. It means being cast out from the very presence of God, not for a little while, but for all eternity. And again, the matching verse to this is found in Luke chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. And so we'll zip over there real quick. It's just a couple spots over. Amen. Thank you, brother. Because I was thinking, should I just go to 23 first? But yeah, we should. But then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Great question, right? We talked about this a little bit last week. Are there only a few that will be saved? When Jesus comes back, will he find faith on the earth? A lot of folks are saying that there'll be gazillions of millions. I don't think there's going to be a lot that really or truly are born again and saved. That's when that song, When We All Get to Heaven, I made a little pun at the very beginning, if we all get to heaven. Because there's a vast majority, because Jesus already said that broad is the way and many go into destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life and righteousness. So only a few get in. So one of the disciples asked him, or one of the people, it doesn't say disciples or apostles. Then one said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in the strait gate. For many will say unto you, you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Wow.
I don't mean to do this.
Yeah.
23 says one asked him.
Yes.
And then it says he answered them.
Right.
So one's asking, but the question,
The answer is to everybody. Amen. He wasn't, it wasn't like Jesus and Nicodemus. He would, go ahead, sis.
Where
were
you?
Oh, I'm in Luke chapter 13.
23.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I not say that? Okay. But anyhow, that's all right. And I'm not changing gears a lot today. We're going to kind of stay in this general area. I say that. We're going to be going to Hebrews 12 and then Hebrews 11. And we'll be going to 1 Corinthians and then Romans, 2 Corinthians. Okay.
yeah.
We might change gears a few times. And so, but he said, strive, verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Warning, church, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, that call themselves pastors, that are going to be desiring to go into Christ, into the righteousness of God, and God's going to say no. No. Not everyone who, we know this from Matthew chapter 7, 20, 21, around in there. Not everyone who says unto me, and Jesus is speaking here, that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of the Father. So there's some doing that needs to be done here. It's not just a mere believing, because even the demons, it tells us, in James, even the devils believe, right? I guarantee you, the satanic horde, the one-third of an innumerable host that fell with Satan or are going to be falling with Satan, they believe that Jesus is the Lord. You know, there's no doubt in their mind. Because we read today in 1 Kings that when they in the throne room of heaven, there are on his right hand and on his left hand. There are those who, the angels that followed him, and there are the angels that followed Lucifer. And they're in the throne room of God. All right? Both sides. So anyhow, but there's coming a day that God's going to clean house. Can't wait for that day. But how about you? How about you personally? Are you preparing your life right now for the eternal promise of the presence of God for all of eternity? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, I'm just going to buzz through this because the Lord laid it on my heart right before I started speaking. ye did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He's talking to the church. Hey, Church of Caledonia, Church of Charity, Church of Open Door, name your church. You put the building or the religion thing in that spot that you want to. He's talking to the Church of Galatia, or the churches, because Galatia was not a town, it was a province, it was an area. So you could say the churches of Rochester and do the same thing. So the church, ye did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? It's not how well you start the race, but it's how well you finish it. You did run well. So, all right, picture this as a race, because Paul talks about your life as a Christian as a race. And you get down in your starting chocks, right? That's what they call it. And you go down, they go, on your mark, get set, ready, and you run. Or there's a bang, and everybody runs at the same time. And they all start running, and they're running so well, all out. Unless it's a really long race, and they're running really slow, because they got to go a long time. Well, I say that, I've seen it, I've never ran it, so I'm speaking in hyperbole. Isn't that what it's called? Huh? Hyperbole. I'm imagining that I ran somewhere, all right, because it's not real. I've never ran anywhere for anything. And so, in that, they're all in the chocks. The starting gun sounds. They accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yay, God, I've started the race. They get going around the track, and all of a sudden, one of them says, well, there's a shorter way. We're just going around in a big circle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this halfway point, and I'm going to cut across, and I'm going to run diagonally, right? I'm going to take a shortcut. Pilgrim's Progress talks about following not the narrow way, but following a broad way that leads to destruction. And I'm going to cut across. I'm going to cheat. I'm not really going to run the race well. I'm going to do my way. I'm going to follow the Broadway. Everybody's going that way. There's only one or two people that are truly staying on the track and following that narrow lane of righteousness. You look at the world, they're running like chickens doing a yard everywhere. They're just going their own way. They're doing their own thing. They're wanting to fulfill the lust of their flesh, the pride of their life, the desires of their heart, instead of denying their flesh that they might enter into the proper gate at the proper time. So you've got to strive to enter in. You've got to work. You've got to listen to the word of God, because there are many men, unfortunately, there are many women standing behind pulpits. There are a lot of folks that are fakers standing behind pulpit trying to teach you some other way. Paul said that if anyone comes before you, whether it be an angel of light, and preaches to you another gospel, let them be accursed, because there is no other gospel that is preached than which was preached to you by Paul. So you go through the... I wasn't alive when Paul was on the earth, right? I'm old, but I'm not nearly that old, right? I wasn't there then, but you know what he left me? He left me his epistles. He left me his writings. God preserved his word. So the word that we read must be the correct word, because there are many Bibles out there, right? Amen? I can't even tell you how many transliterations of the word of God are, but there's only one true word of God, all right? And I would say in my opinion, but my opinion really doesn't matter. Amen? Yeah, you got that? It's not my opinion. When I have put the words, the transliterations in the Bible side by side together, there's only one that is true all the time, that does not change. And that's the King James Bible. A lot of folks will disagree with that. Okay, disagree. Test it yourself. Right. I mean, Y'all have a brain. You know how to read. Pull them beside each other and look at the differences where the other translations of Bibles have taken the deity of Christ out, have taken the blood of Christ out, have perverted the truth of God's word and led many, those false prophets, they led many into the ways of destruction. You will know them by their fruit. And we could get into that a little bit deeper later on. But where we're going to be speaking today, and actually from the springboard, I've been said a lot, but I haven't got to even the swimming pool yet. Okay, so the springboard, there are principles written in the Word of God of things that we need to put on and things we need to cast off, right? We need to put on the righteousness of God. We need to cast off the works of the flesh. And we'll get into that about entering into this narrow way. But as a real quick, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And I say this is going to be real quick, but it's not going to be, so I just lie to you. Don't listen to liars. Listen to the Word of God. Say amen when you get to 12. We're going to pick up in verse 1. We're only going to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to talk about them because there's some huge things that we need to talk about. And we will back up into chapter 11, so we're going to settle down right here for a little while. Amen? Wow. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is laid before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be warned and faint in your minds.
Wearied,
thank you. Wearied and faint in your minds. Look at how I believe the writer of Hebrews was Paul. Amen. All of the other Pauline epistles says, I, Paul, the servant of Christ, right? Says that. Hebrews doesn't say that in the beginning. But if you look at the way that it's written and the depth that it's written in, I personally believe it was written by Paul, okay? So what I gathered out of this is 4 points that we're going to make. Aren't you happy there's just 4 points? Amen? 4 points. And so in those three verses, laying aside every weight, running with patience, looking on to Jesus, and enduring the cross, right? Those four things. This is the four things that will keep you in that narrow way. These are the four things, or one of many, but these are four things in this particular piece of Scripture that will keep you into that straight path that leads to the gate of righteousness, that leads to the kingdom of God. Any other way, any other stuff will mess you up and turn you aside. So the first one of these, laying aside every weight. Wow. What does that mean? Okay, I'm a Christian, right? I got born again. I trusted the Lord as my personal Savior. Now, did that totally cleanse my physical body? No. Who said that? That was you back there. Amen. That didn't cleanse my physical body. Did it cleanse my spiritual body?
Amen.
Amen. It did cleanse my spiritual body, but my physical body still has weight that needs to be cast off. Do you know that it's easier to run a race without a backpack? Amen. Right? Yeah. If you're running a race and you've got 30 pounds of weight on your back, you're probably not going to. So to cast off anything, that's why you see these folks that are running and they're down to their skivvies almost. They just barely have anything on and they're running. You were a runner, right? The Beaner back there. All right. He was a runner, right? And his last name's Bean. So I can't. Steve. Anyhow. He was a runner, right? And he would run all day long, every day. How often did you like take a motorcycle and put it on your back? No more than one or two times, right? So he liked to stress himself to the nth most degree. So, but when he ran, he shook off all of the weight. Anybody here a swimmer? Have you ever tried swimming? Have you ever tried swimming holding on to a cinder block? it makes it much more difficult. Not that you can't do it, but you can't do it well. How about walking this narrow way and on a tightrope, right? I'm walking on a tightrope. It's a narrow way that leads to righteousness, and I need to strive to enter in. That means I must cast off every weight, everything that will throw me off balance. Listening to a lie will throw you off balance. Being worried about things that you really don't have the need to be anxious over will throw you off balance. Amen? Who here is worried about the government? Right? The things that are going on, the economics of the world. You're worried about that? I pray that you're not. But there are a lot of people that are professing Christians that are so worried about this temporal thing right here, the economy, the governments of the world, the coming Antichrist, right? They're worried about that. Well, should we be? Or are those weights that are casting us off of the narrow way? If the church, just the born-again believer, would have spent as much time in prayer and fasting instead of worrying about the elections, things may have been a little different. If the true Christian was truly worried about loving others the way that Christ loved you instead of being overly concerned about the economy, gold prices, the government things, does that make a difference? I dare say, yeah. Because we're worried about things that we have no control over. If we believe, really and truly believe, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are love God and are called for His, help me, purposes, thank you, and are called for His purposes, if we really and truly believe that, why would we be overly concerned about who the president is or what the economy of America is? If we would really just love one another, trust God, love one another, walk in the righteousness that God says, try that narrow way that leads to holiness, that leads to righteousness, that leads to the kingdom, instead of being overly concerned about the things of this world. Would the church, let me put it this way. I believe the church, the bride of Christ, would really look different than what it looks right now. If we would really and truly believe the word of God without any doubting, right? That means it doesn't matter who the president is because I have it. It doesn't matter who the ruling parties of the world are because I have one coming with a different kingdom, with a new kingdom that's going to lead me into the fullness of God, all right? So I need to cast off some stuff. What kind of things do you need to cast off? Right now, we can get into the works of the flesh here. We can get into a lot of different things. 1 Corinthians, these are just some one-liners here, one verses. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. Say amen when you get there. There's so much good stuff here. I hate just to go to this one. All right. oh, goodness gracious. I have just 30 and 31 written down in my notes. But really and truly, the whole of the chapter is beautiful. Right, but thinking about the things we need to cast, things we need to worry about, okay? So if we'll just start in like 29. That no flesh should glory in... Okay, we can't start there. But God hath chosen... This is 27, all right? Oh, wow, 26. Okay. There's... Don't you? 20. My sister said 20. Okay. Okay. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Amen? Yeah. Do you see what he just said? Yeah. The world's wisdom does not know God. Right? The wisdom, the way that the world system works, ignores the righteous power of God. They don't understand it. Amen? It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew require a sign, and the Greeks ask for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, all right, catch that, but to those who are called, those who the Father has moved over, and they have surrendered themselves to God, all right? Because God calls that none should die, none should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of God, all right? All should. So the Father moves over every living human being at one time or another in their life and calls them by name. Now, what you do with that will really determine whether you have a desire to enter into the straight gate or not, right? To enter into that straight, who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Wow, praise God. We could talk, those who trust, let me put it this way, they trust in their wisdom, all right? They trust in their mightiness. They trust in their name, their nobleness. They're trusting. They will not, I won't say all, but the vast majority will not enter into that straight gate. Because to enter into the straight gate, you got to be humble. You got to be of a broken and a contrite spirit. And you've got to be seeking the Lord over your own will. And those who are mighty will not do that. All right? Now, those who are proud in their flesh. Who heard Trump speaking the last couple times he speaks? How many times does he talk of himself like Trump? Trump this, Trump that, Trump this, Trump that. Don't get me wrong. I like what Trump did as president. I really do. And I think he'd be a great president again for this fallen nation. I'm not saying anything bad about him. There are a lot of Christians that are worshiping this man as a god, mm-hmm. right? And they're putting their hope, unless Trump comes, I've heard it said in his rallies, unless Trump comes, we're going to die. We need Trump to be the savior. No, we do not need Trump or Biden or Obama or Clinton's or anybody to be the Savior. We need Christ and Christ alone. We need to get back to His Word, His righteousness, the wisdom of God, which is wiser than men, but to men is foolishness. Right? We need to get back to that narrow way that leads to hope, that leads to life, that leads to an understanding of a merciful, powerful God that desires that you would not see damnation, that you could be and would be saved and sanctified and set apart for His glory. That's where we need to be looking, and not to some man. I guarantee you, everybody running in politics or not has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we'll show that in Scripture. All right? But as he says, verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confine those the things which are mighty, and the base things of this world, and the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are. Oh, wow. Okay. If you can, wrap your mind around what Paul just said, right? Just listen to the depth of what he's talking about. But God chose the foolish things. Not the super smart doctor things. Not the folks who said, I went to seminary school and I have 27 diplomas on my wall and I'm really smart because of my diplomas. Now, don't get me wrong. God's not against education. All right? I am. Okay? But God's not. Because God used a lot of smart people. He used Paul. Very highly educated guy. He used Matthew, right? Tax collector. Smart in math. I mean, he used some really smart people. But praise God, he also used ignorant folks like me, right? He used folks that don't know a whole lot of nothing, but they trust God's word. Peter, John, you know, those type of men that really changed the world because of the holiness that they believed in Jesus Christ. The foolish things, amen? Because when we're talking to this, most folks, they said, that's foolish. I was at a breakfast meeting with another pastor and talking to a bunch of older guys, okay, where the Geritol Club was meeting. And so anyhow, older guys, and they knew they were all Christian, or said that they were Christian, but they very few of them truly believed that the word of the King James Bible or the word of God was the real living word of God. They say, well, what about the other translations? Well, why listen to another translation? I mean, you have the translation. Why listen to another one? Well, my Bible doesn't say that. Well, maybe you're not reading the right Bible. Your horse cleaner, right? Shelley. She comes over to Tom's house, and Tom led her to the Lord a while back, and she has a Bible, and she's reading it, and then she was reading the Bible, and she said, go ahead, say it, because you... I don't have
that right. I feel like something's wrong with the wording here, and I remember you told me that it matters what Bible you're reading.
It matters what Bible you're reading. This is from a new Christian, right? That had one of the easier to understand transliterations of the Word of God. Yeah. And it was easier to understand. She thought it was easier to understand, but when she read it, she found out it was more confusing and more contradicting to the truth of God's Word. Yeah.
Easily led astray editions.
Easily, I like that. Easily led astray editions. And so, but God has chosen these weaker things, all right? Verse 28, the base things of the world and the things which are despised. God hath chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to nothing, to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him that are in Christ Jesus, those who are born again in Christ Jesus, whom of God made us wisdom and the righteousness and sanctification and the redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Brethren, I come to you not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, amen, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save, that means except, save Jesus Christ and him crucified, right? You look at that and comparing that with Hebrews chapter 12, again, seeing that we are compassed by such a great cloud of witnesses. What is the cloud of witnesses that he's talking about? Come on, y'all ought to know. What? Huh? We are. And the ones who went before us, right? The Old Testament. So if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 33, because you can go by faith, and all of verse chapter 11 is by faith or through faith, by faith or through faith. You see that men did things because they believed God, and God moved them forward. Verse 33 says, speaking of this laying aside every weight that so easily besets us, he talks about these folks, Gideon and Barak and Samson and some David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, and turned to fight the
flight,
the armies of the aliens. And women, I put, and women received their dead, raised to life again, and others, okay, we'll stop right there. So first you have this victory, all right? Through faith, they subdued kingdoms. Because they believed God, they were able to put down the powers that were coming against them, the kingdoms coming against them. Through faith, they worked righteousness. Through faith, they obtained promises. Through faith, they stopped the mouths of lions. We know that Daniel did that for sure, right? Samson was another one who did that because he tore a lion apart, right? And so they quenched the violence of the fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They weren't made strong because they were strong. They were made strong because they had faith in the one who provided them the strength. That's crazy speaking there. which we just looked at in the other in Corinthians, right? It's crazy to think of that. As I become weak, I become strong. As I give up my will, I actually am able to obtain His will. As I give up the broad way that leads to death, I'm able to gain the narrow way that leads to life, that enters into the straight gate, that enters into the kingdom. All right, through faith you do these things. You wax through weakness, were made strong. That's verse 34, the latter part. Strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others, all right, now these others are the ones that are important, I think, to us in this our time. Although, and all of these are the cloud of witnesses that we're talking about. These are the ones that have already entered into that narrow gate. These are all the ones who already entered into that straight and narrow way through faith in Jesus Christ. All right, these are the ones. All right, they were not only the ones that were victorious, but the ones who seemingly had lost everything. Now, you look at this, all right? They were tortured, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. There's a resurrection of the lost and the saved, but the better resurrection are those who enter in through the straight gate, the narrow way. There's a better resurrection for those who truly give up the lust of their flesh for the power of God. And it is a better resurrection. Amen? We know that there is a resurrection that's coming, that Christ is going to raise those who are in Him. The dead shall rise first, and those that remain will be caught up in a twinkling in a moment. That's a better resurrection than all the others, right? He's going to come with his armies. He's going to come with those in the clouds, in this great cloud of witnesses that He's talking about. They will have a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sawn asunder. They were tempted, and they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Wow. Is this not a recruiting poster? Okay. Look at this. They lost everything in this world. They lost all of the dainties of this world. They lost everything, the flesh, everything that Satan promised Jesus about the kingdoms of this world that He would give to him during the temptation. He took him to a high place and He showed him the kingdoms of the world, and He said, if you will bow to me, I will give you all of these. These people right here chose to reject all the kingdoms of the world that they might enter into this narrow and straight gate. What are we willing to give up in this life to enter in? Or what, as it says in Galatians, you did run well, but who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Who is stopping you from entering into the straight gate? You better point at yourself. I need to if I don't get to heaven, it's not because Jesus didn't do something. If I don't get into the straight gate, it's because I did not walk by faith. I didn't put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I didn't fear God. I didn't honor Him with my life. I didn't obey Him. I wasn't willing to be tortured. I wasn't willing to have cruel trials or mockings or scourging or be in bonds and imprisonments. All right? I wasn't willing to be stoned for the glory of God. I wasn't worried to be sawn asunder. I wanted the safe way out. I didn't want to enter into this narrow way that is hard. Folks, being a Christian and entering into that narrow way is hard. That's why broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there's only a few that find it. Why? Because not many people are willing to follow Jesus, to bear their cross and to follow Jesus. Not many people are really willing to say, "I'm all right, Jesus, no matter where you send me, I will go. No matter what you tell me, I will do. If that means I need to lose my house and live in a cave, if that means that the clothes that I'm wearing will wear out and I have to dress in sheepskin and goatskins, being hated by the world and this world system. Are you, church, are you willing? In America, we haven't had to face that. In India, they're facing it now. In Kenya, they're facing it now. In China, they're facing it now. In Russia, they're facing it now. In Europe, they're facing it now. South Africa, they're facing it now. Sudan, they're facing it now. In Canada, they're facing it now. In Guatemala, they're facing it now. In Brazil, they're facing it now. I mean, real persecution. And there are men and women and children saying, I would rather die. Set me to the flame. Saw me in half. Cut me under. Rip me apart by the rack. Crucify me if need be. But I will not deny the power of the Most High God. See, in America, we haven't had to face that in our life. But the whole reason that America was founded was because the pilgrims wanted to come to a land where they could worship Jesus Christ in the fullness of the Word of God. That's the whole reason that the Europeans came here. Right? That's why the pilgrims came. It wasn't to destroy the Indians, all right, which history teaches you now. They came that they might be able to not to worship the way the king tells them to worship, the worldly king. They wanted to worship the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were willing to lay their lives down. In fact, one of the documents from the Mayflower, I want to lay my life, I will die face down in the mud that my children might walk across my back to enter into the liberty of Jesus Christ. Wow. How about that, folks? Is that what we really want? To enter into the straight gate is probably going to take something very much like that. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, verse 37. They were slain by the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom this world, the world, was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in the mountains and in the dens of the caves of the earth. And all these, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Oh, you know why? The promise is still coming. The promise is still on the way. Amen. There's coming a kingdom where the promise will be fulfilled. See, and that's where it takes faith. Because it's not my righteousness that matters. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I don't believe in my ability to do these things. I believe in Jesus Christ enough that if I'm in that situation, I pray that I would not stumble and turn away from the holiness of God, that I might save the bread of today for the freedoms of tomorrow. Too many Christians right now are willing to give up the Word of God for the promise of a great nation. This nation ain't great. The nation was great at one time. Don't get me wrong. Man, and I've said this for the last 3 or 4 weeks, because when I say this, I feel like I need to back it up. I am a patriot of the America that started, not the America that is. Right? That's where my patriotism. Why? Because my patriotism was founded on the cross, on the resurrection, and the return of Jesus Christ. The way that the founders had this nation at one time. And this is before 1776. I'm talking about the founders, the ones who said, I'm going to die that my children might know Christ. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to wander around in sheepskins, wandering in the earth that I might. Those are the people that are certain. This great cloud of witnesses, that's who they are. Right. We're surrounded by them. That's who they are. That's who he's talking about. All right? This great cloud. Let us lay aside every weight that so easily besets us. I don't know if I'm going to get off this first point. There's four of these. All right? This What is besetting you? What is stopping you from walking in this type of faith? Well, I don't want to lose. Amen? I don't want to lose my house. I don't want to lose my car. I don't want to lose my guns. I know. But if it means to deny Jesus Christ or lose everything this world has to provide, I pray through the power of the Most High God, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that I will be able to lay that stuff down, that I might gain Christ. Because it is a narrow way, folks. Not a whole lot of people are getting in. You know why? Because it's hard. It's hard. Christianity is hard. There's nothing easy about this. I have to bear my cross daily. I've got to learn how to die to the lust of my heart. Amen. There are lots of devils around. Amen. No doubt. And they are setting up snares and traps and all that kind of stuff. You know what I got to do? I need to be aware of the times that I'm in. I need to be so connected to, thank you, Lord, for this. If I'm going to walk with Christ and I follow his footsteps, you know what I will not get into? The ways of the world. I will be free from the entrapments of this world if I walk close enough to Jesus, if I walk close enough to his word, if I stay humble and broken and contrite before him. He will honor us and build us up and accept us. But first, we got to learn to die to us. The only thing that's going to stop you from entering in that narrow gate, that straight way, the only thing that's stopping you from striving is you. Devil's not making you do it. No, he's setting up traps for you. When he knows your weakness, right? He knows your. He's been around since Adam and Eve, right? He's been around before the creation. He was there, and he knows every way to tempt a human being that there's ever be. And Kevin, he knows your weakness. Justin, he knows your weakness. And the Lord knows he knows mine. You know what I have to do? Stay close to Christ. I want to be holding on to the hem of his garment. Yeah.
Walking by faith and not by sight.
Amen. The just shall walk by faith and not by sight. Right? So to enter in that narrow way, you got to have the righteousness, but not your own righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is his way, his will, his holiness that brings us into that. We're supposed to, Romans 13 and 14, it says, put on Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Right? And that's I didn't use all of the whole scripture. I just used little bits of it. All right, so he tells in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, says, put on Jesus Christ. Wow. That means I need to put, if I'm going to be conformed to the image of God, you know what I've got to do? Take his word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Amen? The word, the written word of God. And I need to put that on me. Right? And I need to make no provision for the flesh. Do you understand what that means? That means I have a choice here. I'm either going to walk in God's righteousness or my selfishness, providing for my flesh. Now, we have promises from God about our flesh. Food and clothing. I got that covered, right? God has that. What else do you need? If you have faith, food, and clothes, reason he doesn't say shelter, thank you, brother, for this. The reason he doesn't say shelter is because Jesus is supposed to be our shelter. Amen. And he will provide that. May not be the house I'm living in. It might be a cave. It might be a hole in the ground. Ooh, I'm short enough to be a hobbit, and I have hairy feet. Amen? I had to say that little levity. We are supposed to walk in the holiness of God, denying my flesh, walk in the fullness of Christ Jesus, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection, that we could truly be transformed. Who's looking for a transformation? I am, because there is a great cloud of witness that surrounds me, and I need to put on Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3. And again, I only have one little verse marked out here, but the whole of chapter 3 is so good. Please, in this aspect that we're teaching right now about entering into the straight gate, read that chapter. But if we would look just from verse 20 and following, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, all right, which is by faith in Jesus, it does say in, right? Of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Your redemption is in him. Our faith is of him. To enter into this narrow way, I have to have faith that Jesus is the way. And it's a narrow way. Not a whole lot of people are going to be willing to give up their life, for especially in America. Around the rest of the world, it happens a lot. That people, they just do. And I really believe that when the persecution rises in America, we will come to the surface. We will resist the works of unrighteousness until the day we're taken out of the way. Our influence, church, the influence of the born-again believer, the ones who really believe Jesus Christ, our influence is going to be cornered and taken out of the way. We can get into the theories of FEMA camps and all that kind of stuff, which I truly believe that the world system is going to take those who truly trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and really believe the Word of God, these simple teachings that a guy is a guy.
Could you just pray for us for a minute?
I will. A guy is a guy and a girl is a girl. Marriage is between one woman and one man, biologically. Right? And we believe that. And that the gender that you're born with is the gender you are. Right? And see, there's fewer and fewer and fewer of folks who really make that kind of stand. And what is the world doing? They're saying, James, you're a bigot because you believe that. Right? Dave, you're unrighteous because you believe that there's a narrow way. All roads lead to heaven. That's what the world says. But Dave says, no, the Bible says it's a narrow way. Only a few are going to find it. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in, but he who does doeth the will of the Father. Only those are going to come in. Those who are willing to die to themselves that they might live to Christ Jesus. Only those. It's going to be few. When Jesus comes back, will he find faith on the earth? I don't think he's going to find much.
Remnant.
Amen. Remnant. There'll be a remnant. You know, I don't know how many people are on the earth, but there are more, right? Folks are being born every day. Folks are dying every day. But there will be a remnant. There will be some who will say, not my will, but thy will be done in their personal life. That we will trust the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It says that he is our righteousness, right? Oh, where is that? Just went through it not long ago. Bear with me. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I hope I have it marked in my Bible. Oh, 2 5. Ah, mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 through 21. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. Amen. All right? Do you see what he's saying? I'm supposed to be an ambassador of God. When the world sees me, it ought to see Jesus Christ. It ought to see his love, his mercy, and his power. It ought to. Why? Because I'm a Christian. Unfortunately, you know that divorce in the church is as high or maybe even higher than those of the world right now outside of the church. Do you know that abortion in the church right now is as high or higher than those who are outside in the world right now? That means fornication, because you don't get pregnant without having fornication, you know, without... There are no immaculate conceptions going on right now. So there's young folks here, and I don't want to get overly graphic. But you know what I'm saying, right? See, you don't get one without the other. Galatians 5 says, he has a list of the works of the flesh, and anyone who practices or does these things shall, I think it's chapter 6, right? Anyone who does these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They're going to miss the narrow way. And again, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church. So how are you to enter in to the holiness, that righteous narrow way? You need God's righteousness, not your own. You need to have faith in God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And God asked him to do some really hard things. Get up. Get out of your father's house and go to a land I will show you. That's a hard thing. Circumcision of the flesh. That's because he was like 70 years old when that happened. Those are hard things. God will never ask you to do the easy thing, but he will always put on your heart to do the right thing. And not right in your eyes, but right in the eyes of the Word of God. So entering, this is point one. I guess next week, because I love you, we'll talk about running with patience. Then we need to talk about looking unto Jesus. And then we talk about endure the cross. Endurance. Oh, my goodness, folks. When you look at the word endurance through the Scripture, you need to have some endurance. It will bring you from Genesis all the way through the Revelation. That word, and I ended up on that word because it's the, I ain't going to say it's deeper than any of the rest, but it really makes you examine. All this has made me examine myself, all right? Mm-hmm. I think I really believe that God is weighing the church in the balances, all right? And he's going to find some wanting. But he is going to find some that have refined their life, that have justified through the blood and the resurrection, and a true belief, a lifestyle that lives out the holy, justified righteousness of God in a lost and dying world. Now the question is, do you want to be that? Do you want to be that? Because a lot of people are going to say, Lord, Lord. A lot of people are going to confess him with their mouth and not believe him in their heart. A lot of people have that, I'm a Christian. Oh, even better than that, I'm an American Christian. We're super special. We have the Constitution. No, we don't. No. If you do not have God and his word, if you do not have the risen Lord Jesus Christ in and on and through you, you need to check yourself. Something my grandpa told me once or twice. Check yourself, young man. I said, check yourself. Am I there? See, I can't do you any more than what I have done you about this first step that we found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. This one thing, lay aside every weight. Step one, live circumspectly. Be conformed into the image of the Most High God through obedience, the obedience of his righteousness, not my own personal force, right? Because you can force your... Anybody here know moral people? I mean, they're morally correct, yeah. But they deny Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Guess where they're going?
Right.
They will be... They're on that broad way. All right? They're going to stand before God someday at the day of the resurrection, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. But I was morally correct. I preached in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did many, many good works in your name. I never knew you. Although they professed him as their Lord and Savior. I don't know, folks. Or actually, I do know. I do know that God is preparing a people. My only question is, do you want to be one of those people? You can be. You can be. He tells us in, I think it's 1 John, that you can know that you are saved. Amen? I write to you children that you can know that you have salvation. I know I have salvation. You know why? I desire to remain in the vine. I want to be in Christ Jesus more than I want anything else. More than I want my family. I love my kids. I love my wife. But if any of them try to stand between me and God, I will step around them to get to the cross. I know that's a hard saying for a lot of people. As it's family first. No, it's family second. It's God first. And those are hard things. Those are hard things. Anyhow, I love you. Amen. You know, cheer up. Because you can get there. You, through the power of Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, you can do it. But it's not easy. You've got to lay aside every weight that so easily besets you.
Be obedient.
Amen. Amen. Be obedient. And, you want to talk about another long sermon? Obedience. Again, you look from the Genesis all the way through the Revelation. You look everywhere obedience is. You'll have more reading than you ever wanted. Well, no, not more than you ever wanted. More than you could sit down in one meal and eat. You know. So anyhow, I love you, right? I really want to keep going, but I need to hush. All right, and the reason I need to hush is because I do love you, and I want you to be part. Go to your families, mull over what has already been said to you today. If you have any questions, ask Tom. No, Kevin. No, Dave. Anyone? Don't ask. No, you can ask. I'll show you my notes. We'll go through it. Come on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Anytime you want, and I'll sit down. And I'll open the Word of God, and we will wrestle these things out together. Amen. Because you can know, right? You can know you have salvation. But you also need to know this. Not everyone who says they has it. Right? Not everyone who says they have it has it. Amen? Salvation. And so anyhow, anyone want to close in prayer? My brother?
I will.
Go for it.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this chance to worship, glorify you, and we want to thank you for being our provider. You've always promised to give us what we need, and you have certainly done this. I've seen this in the short time I've been a member of this congregation. We had a sister that had a fire. You provided for her. Brothers and sisters in this church that have been injured, you provided healing. People that needed comfort, you provided that. And I came here a year ago needing a place with a pastor that was going to preach an unfiltered version of your word, and we certainly get that here, and we thank you for that. We don't hear what our itching ears want to hear, but we get the gospel uncensored and unfiltered, which is how you intended it to be. And we cannot thank you enough for that, and for the convictions you give us in this congregation, and for the fellowship we have here. And we thank you that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.